listening to the Nerds Assemble podcast.
Welcome to episode 222 of the Nerds Assemble podcast. I'm Emily.
I'm Paul.
I am Paul, a.k.a. Cookie.
And I'm Paul, a.k.a. Retroid.
This week we're kind of catching up because obviously, well, we had one of our team moving and having to wait for the internet gods to bestow him with some form of internet.
What a tosser. Who was that then?
And just people just kind of like not being half dead kind of generally helps in order for an episode to be recorded. But we're going to look at all the shizzle that's been cancelled that we might vaguely give a what's it about, which will include me reading out a thing from Rotten Tomatoes in a minute, and then also just generally what we've been up to. For those who didn't hear on the Final Fantasy episode of 221, 223 is X-Men Comics and X-Men in general kind of episode, sort of special. So if you want to listen to that and have any context and have somehow gotten to this year of comic book moviness without ever experiencing anything to do with X-Men, then, you know, either grab a comic or watch a film or watch the, was it late 80s, early 90s cartoon series?
Mm. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
If you fancy.
Yes, definitely watch that one. Yeah. Yes.
Not sure. Oh, what was that weird film they did in the 90s that was like Mutant?
Oh.
Is it Mutant X or?
Might be something.
That was a TV series and it was shit.
There was a film as well, yeah. Though, that had like. Yeah, with that had like what's his face who did Pink Panther voice in the cartoon series, well, the newer cartoon series. I think he was in it.
Mm.
But anyway, yeah. Anyway, cancelled stuff. Okay, so we've been talking a little bit in the chat that we have to help us plan episodes about all the fallout from cancellation hell. In fact, a lot of my Facebook actually has been like, "Oh my god!" like. This has been cancelled. And there's been a lot of surprising victims this year. And I can provide some context after I've gone through the victims. Okay. So, 12 Monkeys has been cancelled after 4 seasons.
No! I'm just going to keep doing this.
Yeah. Adventure Time has been cancelled. However, that is after it's had a final season. I mean, this managed 10 seasons.
Is that really
cancelled? I don't know if the comics are continuing or not. The Americans has been cancelled. Ash versus Evil Dead has been cancelled after 3 seasons. I had a lot of friends in my timeline who weren't happy about that.
Has anyone here watched the latest season?
No. I haven't watched any of it. I do want to, but it's not... come on, like Netflix or Amazon or anything like that. Like,
yeah, Blood Drive's been cancelled after 1 season.
What's that?
That was like this really gory kind of like survival reality. Well, not reality, but like dramatized reality series thing on Sci-Fi, which we had over on one of the Access things for over here.
I think I've just demonstrated why it was cancelled there.
Yeah.
Is that the what?
Yeah, there was the brief terror of Brooklyn Nine-Nine being cancelled before being renewed for a season 6 by NBC. So Fox had it and cancelled it, and then NBC picked it up. I think it's for a shorter season, though, but I'm assuming they'll at least see how things go.
I mean, I'm still kind of pissed off at our TV recorder because we basically set it up to record the entire series. And the first episode, the signal fucks up.
So
now we've basically got this entire series that, you know, is, you know, recorded on there, but the first episode is just...
Okay. Continue on. Nothing in the seas that anyone's going to give a what's it about. But Dark Matter season 3... Dark Matter's been cancelled 3 seasons rather by Sci-Fi. designated survivor has been cancelled after two seasons. Now, I would be sad about that, but I get confused between that and... No, I think it was designated survivor. It kind of went a bit stupid after the end of the first season, so I haven't gone back to watch it. But maybe, yeah, that's just me.
Because that was the one with Thingy from...
Keith Sutherland?
24.
Yeah.
That's him. Yeah.
But actually playing like a less action-y character.
I basically know him from 24 and The Lost Boys. I have no idea what else he's ever done.
Flatliners?
Oh, yes, yeah. Flatliners.
That's about the only one I can remember.
Wasn't he in Phone Booth?
Yes. Yes, he was.
Yep.
Obviously, we already knew... Sorry, we already knew that Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective Agency had been cancelled.
I still have kind of mixed feelings about that after finding out that the bloke who wrote it, as in not Douglas Adams, but the bloke who wrote the TV series, was a bell end.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh. But I quite enjoyed the series before I found that out.
Because
it was enjoy the series, find out he's an arsehole, he gets cancelled. So I had a whole roller coaster with that. Yeah. Mm.
The Expanse was cancelled on Sci-Fi after season 3, but then Amazon have picked it up for season 4.
I am very happy about that.
I didn't actually realise that it was actually picked up.
Yeah, so it's been picked up. Cool. So Game of Thrones, I think we already knew this wasn't going to be any more after season 8. The 8th season is going to be the final season. We already knew that The Get Down had been cancelled and not renewed for a second season, even though it was bloody good first season. Looking through the list. Oh my gosh. Let's see. Something that people
Haters
might...
Back Off has been cancelled. I haven't really watched the first season. In fact, I barely watched the first episode.
But, yeah.
But, yeah, Haters Back Off.
See, I also keep hearing rumblings that iZombie is pretty effectively cancelled.
Well, it's got a final season.
Obviously,
basically just taking it up to the right number of episodes so they can syndicate it.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, everyone already knew that there wasn't going to be any more House of Cards, apparently, after the 6th season.
I Love Dick. That's the one with Kevin Bacon, isn't it?
Yes, so that's been cancelled after season 1. That was an Amazon exclusive. No, iZombie's been renewed for season 5. It's not, yeah, so Rotten it's, Tomatoes is not...
Yeah.
Let's have a look. Kevin probably says, "Well, that sounds familiar." In the sense that I have a feeling it actually got shown over here, but I might be mistaken.
Unsure. It might be just similar to Bill Nye Saves the World.
Okay, E-boy, that's been cancelled.
Hey, what? Say what?
No, not Bill Nye. Bill Nye. Dude,
bloody hell, Emily! Just don't do this to me.
Who else was going to science?
I don't know.
Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Last Man on Earth's been cancelled.
Librarians has been cancelled.
Yes, The Librarians has been cancelled.
Although, to be fair, I think I watched the first episode of that and was like...
It was the cheesiest cheese of ever to be cheese. Obviously, unfortunately, Lucifer has been cancelled after season 3. They'd already recorded the start of season 4, I assume because it closely tied into the actual proper end of season 3, and the episodes are being released. Nobody has yet to pick up Lucifer.
I hope if they do that, then they'll do some sort of like DVD kind of extra type thing with it. But
in no surprise to anyone, Marvel's Inhumans was cancelled after the first season.
I think that's... I was going to say that's the first Marvel series that's been cancelled, but no,
it's not.
It's Peggy Carter.
Yeah.
That still burns. Peggy Carter was ace.
Mindy Project's been cancelled after... Well, yeah, but it's after its final 6th season, so it's getting a proper ending. Oh, The Mist has been cancelled after... Nobody's renewed The Mist.
Mozart in the Jungle's been cancelled.
Yeah, the Mozart and Jungle's been cancelled. Oh, Nashville. Oh, okay, Nashville's been cancelled, but that's only after a final sixth season. Oh,
New Girl's been cancelled.
But after, again, another final season. So it's not so bad when it gets cancelled if, like, that they're obviously at least doing a proper final season and tie up stuff. Once Upon a Time, we already knew it had been cancelled. The Originals has been cancelled, but that's after a final fifth season. Of course, they've then gone and picked up Legacies, which is another spin-off of The Vampire Diaries. Meanwhile, the CW didn't think to pick up Wayward Sisters, but hey, a Charmed reboot. Fuck's sake. Orphan Black's been cancelled.
Oh, bollocks.
It's like looking through, like...
Oh, Portlandia.
Portlandia's cancelled.
Yeah.
Pretty
Little Lies
as well.
Yeah. Pretty Little Lies, yeah.
Is Deception cancelled?
Quantico's been cancelled.
Lost interest after the first season, to be honest.
I kind of liked the second season, but it was still kind of... It just thrived on being confusing.
Like that, Rick and Morty, 70 episodes, Adult Swim.
Yeah, yeah. Somehow Riverdale is continuing.
Sorry.
I haven't still watched the second season of that.
I started watching it. It's a bit, of course, there was the Troy that was Roseanne was renewed. And oh, wait, somebody's an idiot. No. And finally realised to be an idiot and is cancelled. Good.
I wonder whether they're going to uncancel something else in its place.
Spin-off of Darlene.
Yeah. I kept hearing there were rumblings of either a Darlene-centered one or just reboot it as Dan. Oh no, my wife has been run over. This is tragic.
Well, I mean, Darlene and Dan are the best characters out of it, so that wouldn't be too bad.
Yeah, she was ran over by a racist car or something. a racist drugs lorry.
I'm going to continue going through the list.
Okay.
Scandal's been cancelled, but that's after a final seventh season. We already knew Sense 8 had been cancelled, but they've got the wrap-up TV movie, which is coming up soon.
Yeah, like this month.
Yeah. A Series of Unfortunate Events has been cancelled. The first season will be its last. We already knew the Shannara Chronicles have been cancelled, I think.
The second season was crap.
Yeah.
South Park's still going.
Somehow. Mind you, that's like saying Simpsons is still going somehow.
Simpsons, it just does.
It just doesn't stop. It's going to be on season 30, guys. It's Simpsons. Fucking
bloody hell. That's older than a lot of our listeners.
What TV series could survive after its like 12th or 13th series?
I don't know. The Strain has been cancelled after season 4. And I've been wanting to watch that. Taken's been cancelled. We already knew that Teen Wolf was cancelled. That's ages back.
Okay.
Teen Wolf. I thought that had been cancelled.
Yeah, that was ages ago.
Transparent's been cancelled.
Oh, yeah.
What?
Transparent has been cancelled. But that's after a final season.
Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
Has been cancelled after a full final season.
Yeah. There's a lot of these that
they screwed for the movie.
Heard of seen maybe the first episode or so, but yeah,
this is like catching up with like the year, because this has got like stuff that's cancelled in recent months and the stuff that's kind of been added on top. Has Deception been cancelled? Is that what you're asking, Cookie?
Yeah,
I will go back up.
You've
to
got the list.
D going up. Deception is cancelled, sorry. After one season.
Smeg.
Now, for some context, because I said I'd give you some context. So, okay, any of their shows, like Brooklyn Nine-Nine and Lucifer, which were both on Fox in the US, the reasons they've been cancelled is mainly because Fox decided to go and buy itself a load of rights to showing NFL shit in the coming TV season.
And yeah, so they had no good reason.
And they had no room for like decent telly. But hey, they decided to keep stuff like Lethal Weapon.
Well, that was a shower of a stupid idea, wasn't it? Due to the fact they've sacked the rigs. So, and they're replacing it with Sean William Scott. So, I've actually enjoyed the first two seasons. I wouldn't mind a bit continuing with Riggs, because Riggs is the main central character of Murtaugh, but basically they've sacked him and they're bringing in Sean William Scott as a completely new character.
I do like Sean William Scott, actually.
But they're going to make... Apparently they're going to make him some sort of brother of Riggs, and they've already had another one of his brothers turn up that he didn't know anything about, so I'm just wondering what the hell is going to go on.
So it's basically turning into a daytime soap when it comes to, no, I thought you were dead. No, I'm his twin brother.
No, I'm here.
So that's the victim list. I mean, I think the annoying thing is it's mostly the case of is for me, I'm mostly annoyed with Fox and the CW. Fox, because obviously the NFL commitment's messing up shows, and nobody seems to want Lucifer, which is annoying because I felt like it was only just getting its stride.
Yeah, I think there have been vocal fans that have tried to do like a campaign to save it, but whether that will work or not is a different matter.
Do you know what, though? Probably, what was interesting is that, okay, so convention circuit-wise, okay, at the moment, everyone's in Europe. The main conventions happening across numerous shows and fandoms are in Europe at the moment. So in May, when all of this cancellation stuff was happening, Gibland, Justin Bello Land, was happening in Rome, in Italy. And that also happened to be the week that Mr. Tom Ellis was in Rome for the convention. So he was at convention mixing with convention goers and stuff when his show had just been cancelled.
Wow.
That sucks.
Or he got cancelled whilst he was there. It was within that period, basically.
Damn.
Meanwhile, because basically, Justin Bello, so you got Gibland that happens during this particular week in May, and then around the weekend is Justin Bello convention, which is specifically Supernatural. So it's like a general thing with a couple of different people from different shows in the week running up, and then it's Supernatural. And basically during the Supernatural one, Rihanna Buchmeister was there. I'm not sure if why is Jodie's actress Kim Rhodes, I'm not sure if she was there, but Brianna was. And it was whilst GibCon was happening that Wayward Sisters not being picked up by the CW broke, which was going to be a spin-off of Supernatural. And considering the spin-off episodes related to that happened during season 13 of Supernatural, it was actually quite surprising because they were genuinely really good in comparison to the fuck-up attempt that was attempted in season 9 for a different spin-off. But basically, as far as anyone can tell, there's two reasons why they didn't pick up Wayward Sisters. Maybe three. And that's partly, well, one, they decided that they were going to have that legacy spin-off from the Vampire Diaries universe. Two, they're rebooting Charmed, CW up. Because
they kept Arrow on for another season, which I don't know why.
So they've done that. And then, on top of that, there's also the fact that Wayward Sisters was also dependent on having the actress Catherine Newton in it, and Newton, who plays Claire in Supernatural, who is the daughter of Jimmy Novak, as in the who was Castiel's vessel.
Yeah.
Spoilers, by the way.
Yeah, that's like season four, season five. Yeah, season four, five.
Got that. That was nearly a decade ago,
you know.
I'll just point that out again.
Blimey. Basically the actress, she's getting a lot of work in Hollywood now. I mean, she was in, what was that sort of...
I know exactly. The one with John Cena and
They saw
Leslie
it, goddammit. It was a comedy that was out a couple of months ago. That was like an alternative take on basically bullshit like American Pie. In the sense that it was from a more female perspective, but then also parents trying to, guard virginity of daughters, sort of thing. It was just ridiculous, but at the same time quite believable because it was set in America.
Quickly to the internet.
Oh, to the internet. Tinternet, can IMDb save us?
It just reminds me of Spaceballs with Dot Matrix. So what was that? That was my Virgin alarm. It's programmed to go off before you do.
Awesome. I thought I saw one that looked familiar just then, but okay.
Blockers.
Blockers. It was called Blockers. Hey. The film. It was called Blockers. Blockers.
That's a good...
Because it was a bunch of parents trying to block their daughters from having sex.
Yes. Yes, the aforementioned thing blockers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Organ blockers.
Mm. Mm.
So to speak.
But yeah, Catherine Newton had a pretty big role in that, and it does sound like she's getting a lot more kind of like mainstream Hollywood work coming her way. So it makes it somewhat difficult to have her committed to either like a 12 or... I mean, I don't feel how big they were thinking of making Supernatural, because I don't think Riverdale went for a full 20-odd episodes in its first season, but I think the second season it has. So, yeah.
I mean, there are actors that do, you know, do that, where they kind of do, you know, the TV season making, as it were, and then during the summer they, you know, basically film the film.
Yeah. Other thing, I do feel with the Charmed reboot that CW's hoping to recreate what is achieved with Dynasty, which I might add ended on a rather spectacular note for its first season. So, yeah.
No, I still can't shake the 80s version. That's just so imprinted as shit TV.
The advantage I've got is that I was too young to have watched it, and so I don't have that imprinted on my memory.
Shut up.
Watch it though, just so you can compare and give a realistic review of it.
I mean, for me, when a show is cancelled, I'm kind of in two minds about, you know, kind of continuing to watch it in a way, because I know Once Upon a Time's been cancelled, and that one I'm kind of like, I probably will eventually watch the rest of the season.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I want to watch something that's going to continue to kind of go on. But
I would like to actually see some of these shows actually hit their stride a bit more, give them a chance.
I wonder how much international viewing figures are affecting decisions these days rather than Nielsen ratings.
Yeah. I would hope it's a fair amount.
You'd say that, but then Dirk Gently wouldn't have gone the way it has.
Yeah. But then it's... Because, I mean, the American TV system's quite weird, because maybe it's the British TV system that's weird. It's, you know... But with British TV, you can have it where it's like, you know, a couple of years later, they'll do another series.
Yeah.
Whereas in America, if it's cancelled, it's cancelled, and that's that.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a very strange system, and we've discussed it before, where I'm still not entirely convinced they're taking on board the whole, you know, people wait a little bit now so they can binge.
Yeah.
Mm. Yes.
So I have a feeling they're just looking at the weekly numbers and go, well, the advertising's not bringing in enough money in this, or, you know, the ratings say, you know, we can't make, you know, can't charge the advertisers X amount.
But you know, this
so
is...
therefore.
But yeah, but then that's crazy, because if you look at a load of figures to do with, like, basically millennials are killing cable TV in the States at the moment, apparently. The amount of, and I'm doing those of air quotes, cord cutters that are, like, over in the States, just so many people not signing up for cable, which, you know, means...
they know that they can get it over the internet.
Yeah, because, I mean, like, something like Supernatural, for instance, if you're not worried about... Supernatural, you can watch it without even having a cable subscription on the CW's own website every week for up to 4 weeks per episode. And then I think it's not that long after it's finished airing, like, the whole season in the States in May, that it becomes available on their Netflix.
And considering, you know, obviously you can stream that to a TV, so it's not as though, you know, you're having to kind of huddle around like a small, you know, kind of screen or anything.
That is something that always drives me a little bit mad whenever they're talking about, oh, the millennials are watching television on their phone. No, they're bloody not, you moron. They're watching it on their 40-odd inch really cheap OLED TVs that they just got from bloody Aldi. Yeah. You know, that kind of thing. You know, the apps are built in. You watch them on those. And also, with America, with, you know, the whole cable TV thing, it's a little bit, you know, like film camera film manufacturers, or Blockbuster. It's just we could see this coming because the only option previously was either in America you had over the air, or you had cable TV, and you had a small market for satellite TV. Whereas because their cable TV would go above ground, whereas ours was is mostly under the pavement, which is why it's taken a lot longer to spread cable over here. But so you've got all these options now. You've got fast broadband. You've got things like Google TV, and there are a few other ones where they have TV packages.
Yeah.
That charge monthly, and you can get all these things, not certain channels and packages. They're working as a TV provider, so it's kind of the millennials are killing cable. It's like no, the fact that the cable networks have just relied on you're going to have to get cable. Oh no, wait, no, don't do that. No, that's the wrong kind of cable. You're doing it wrong.
That's the thing. If businesses don't adapt to
the market conditions,
then they're doomed to fail.
I mean, also, I remember some of the articles looking at it, though, they pointed out, quite rightly so, just how much in the US cable's gone up in price since, before the recession. It's just insane. Like, you can't expect, basically, millennials in the US to be paying for cable because they've got obscene college debts. They're probably working a job that's not paying them enough for what they're doing. And they have to pay for all those more essential things. And then if you're looking at a 70 plus
toast.
Yeah. And then if you're looking at a 70 plus dollar bill a month for fucking cable, they're not going to do it. Cause that's not that's not even considering their phone.
You're going to sit down and, this company is saying they can give me broadband. And then, they're either packaging in something, or you're just wanting free to stream things like CW, or you've got something Google TV, other ones are available, which offer these premium previously cable or satellite only services.
Meanwhile, they might be paying out so much a year to have access to Amazon Prime, but they're getting a really good deal out of that, plus some TV and films.
There's the whole thing with Amazon Prime. We take it for granted that our postage is reasonable-ish.
Yes.
Yep.
But America is much bigger.
Mm.
And shipping can really cost an obscene amount, so you pay this and you can get things delivered much cheaper or included in the price, and you get a streaming service, and there's a music store, et cetera.
Yeah.
Groceries.
Yeah.
So, it's well, of course people are opting out for of things like cable because it's too bloody expensive, and you can get most of the things that you'd want elsewhere.
Yeah. But then going back to where else are they looking for their figures for when people are watching stuff, it's stop. They really, really need to stop thinking of broadcast on the air. And that's because they really need to rethink the fact of them relying on advertisers to make revenue. That might be part of their problem. Or, maybe because a lot of the time, when you sort of question people from over in the States, Netflix, blah, blah, why? Other than the price, the other thing is no ads anyway.
Yeah.
Because American TV, oh my God, the ads, they go on forever, as in the length of the general ad breaks, and then the frequency of them is obscene. It's why did you as a nation agree to have that much crap rammed down your eyeballs? Thing is that you can see if you've got box sets from the late 90s, early 2000s versus stuff to today, you can see when they started to decrease episode length and increase the amount of adverts that they had over the course of an hour.
And that does affect the storytelling inside the episodes as well. Because you've got to fit the pacing to the advert.
When it comes to adverts and US TV, there are two things that I can remember. One, when I was in the States, I remember watching an episode of Voyager. Mm. And you'd have the teaser, you know, setting up the story.
Yeah.
And, you know the, and then you'd have the fade out, advert break.
Yeah.
Titles, advert break. Episode begins. And then, you'd have five advert breaks. And the other one which I remember is when the Sci-Fi Channel first bought the rights to show the original Star Trek episodes in the US. People were really pissed off because those original episodes, as Emily says, the time allocated to adverts in an hour on US TV has increased quite a lot. So those episodes of Star Trek from the 60s, about 49 to 51 minutes, roundabout. At the time, the average was about 41, 42 minutes, you know, per episode of, you know, whatever it was you were watching. So what they ended up doing was that they were either speeding sections up of the episodes or they were cutting minutes.
Bloody hell.
From each episode, just so they could, you know, get the allotted advert breaks in. And it's just, no, you don't do that. You're missing the point. You're supposed to be the Sci-Fi Channel. You're supposed to be what people who like these things are going to, you know, go to watch. So if you're treating your things like that, why the hell would we watch you?
Yeah. It's just ridiculous. Okay, there must be... Is there a moral in all of this and the fact that loads of shit got cancelled? I think the first moral is... Fox... Fuck you.
Well, Fox has always been...
I know, but this time...
That is not a new thing, though.
But I thought we were entering a new realm of understanding with Fox. I lulled myself into a false sense of security. Yeah. I should have realised that the fact that they kept The Simpsons going and bought a whole load of NFL stuff, that I should have just been like, yeah, no.
I mean, to be fair, you should turn around and say it's business.
Yeah, business. Mm. I think... Personally, though, with some stuff that isn't doing that badly, but then it doesn't fit with their business plans, they should make a more active effort of selling that.
Yep.
You know,
it's supposed to be an advantage, and it has happened a few times where a TV series has swapped from network to network.
Yeah, Buffy did it with UPN.
Yeah,
as well.
Yeah, it doesn't happen enough. When you know, if ITV or the BBC over here. Are making a TV series, that's because they are making it.
Yeah.
So if it gets knocked on the head, then it's an extremely rare thing. Like, Men Behaving Badly is just about the only one I remember.
Obviously, the Great British Bake Off ended up switching channels, but that was purely down to negotiations over price.
And that was made by an outside broadcaster.
Yeah,
that was made by a third company.
Is it Endemol?
I think most things...
A lot of stuff is made by separate production companies, and so they can shop around if their content is suitable for another channel. But it's like ITV1, I don't think they really, for instance, like really do comedy anymore. Can't shop comedy shows there.
I remember when Delivery Man was put on it, and it just kind of felt a bit weird. And same with, what was that, No Heroics.
That was on ITV2. Really, yeah,
but
that was on ITV2.
That still felt quite out of place. Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. I suppose I kind of associate ITV with just like reality TV
and crap.
I associate ITV with utter shite
or really depressing drama or really nationalistic drama.
Mm.
Maybe that's just me.
And then like BBC is like mostly dull shit. And
there's some like cool stuff on BBC Two or BBC Four.
Yeah. I mean, you can't even say Red Dwarf anymore because now Dave's got that.
Yeah. Anyway, American TV. I think I'm really glad that Brooklyn Nine-Nine found a new home.
Mm.
I'm upset on behalf of a friend of mine who really liked Ash versus the Evil Dead. She was really upset they got cancelled because she was really into it, and I'd been kind of like waiting. To watch it,
I just wanted a place where I can watch it rather than having to go out and buy the DVDs.
Yeah,
because I kind of accept that inevitably it's probably better off to get a subscription to Netflix and Amazon and Sky and whatnot. But when like a TV series in the United States doesn't come to any one of those and not even on terrestrial TV, then you're kind of left thinking, well, my only option is either to stream it. Illegally online somewhere from Dave Internet, but from buying the DVDs themselves, and that is just like extra money being thrown away.
Also, spoilers.
Yeah, Dave Internet, our mutual friend.
But also, spoilers is the risk the longer you wait as well. If you want to get involved with any of the like discussions about, or even if you just want to hang around social media in general.
Spoilers can be so terrible. Even when, you know, we're like literally a day behind, like on Walking Dead or something like that, and you just kind of get people like spoiling stuff like on Facebook or even Facebook pages themselves being like, you know, oh, this is this funny meme based on last night's episode. Hold on a minute, it hasn't come to our country yet.
Oh, my favorite, which is also the Google cards.
Cards.
I now know things about the next season of Walking Dead that I wish I didn't. Thanks very much.
My main issue actually with the Google cards more is though, why do they keep thinking I'm interested in football? I'm not interested in football. Stop showing me shit about football. When you go on Google search, if you go into the search bar, say you've got the search bar thing and you like click on it and it opens up things.
Well,
over here though, I mean on 8 and above, it's like this. This is Google Cards. I'm showing Paul Google Cards if anyone's wondering. Yeah. And it can get really annoying. And I get stuff. I mean, despite the amount that I've been searching about ice hockey the past month, it still thinks I give a fuck about football and cricket. Show me ice hockey stuff. Do not show me any football or cricket.
It's basically, I will say, oh, there's something about FIFA, and I'll say, I am not interested in FIFA, and I'll say, thank you, will not get stories about FIFA.
Yeah.
.. Here's some stories about the England national team.
Yeah.
I don't give a shit about the English national team. Okay, right, .. Here's some news about the world. I don't give a fuck.
Related, but different platform.
And then it's, oh, here's some news about a particular footballer. And it's just leave me alone.
Related but different, different place. I've been having issues lately with LinkedIn showing me a promoted post from Philip Morris International, as in the tobacco manufacturers, about them going on some bullshit about vape products. And I'm just like, I've told LinkedIn to stop showing me that ad so many fucking times, and I've even reported it a few times saying I find it offensive, and it just keeps coming back. So,
and is it sadly not like Twitter, where I find their promotional tweets and adverts very useful because I block them all?
Yes.
I'm getting a thing from you know, whatever company that I dislike, and it's, well, I dislike you even more because you're advertising on my feed. You are blocked.
I feel like there's a common theme here. People don't like advertising in most of its current state. I think that's the theme.
Well, man, that's just because it's so obtrusive, because it has to be.
Yeah.
I will say, just while I remember, that, you know, with all this talk about Ash vs. Evil Dead and being able to watch it legitimately, I have been watching it legitimately this season.
Where?
It's on Virgin.
Oh, God damn it. Yeah, like the one fucking thing you can't get this
I
far
know,
south.
Because it's cable. I know. So trust me, Carlisle was pretty much the same.
Even if we could get it down here, I'm not entirely sure. Because, I mean, we've got Now TV, we've got Amazon Prime, we've got Netflix. What fucking more do we need to actually watch the stuff that we want to
watch?
And
this is the thing, because like, even if you've signed up to somebody like Sky, you know, which is the equivalent, obviously it's like satellite over here, but it's the equivalent for an American signing up to a fucking cable company in general anyway. It's just they got more of them, whereas we've only got freaking Virgin. It's like, you can't guarantee that they're going to have everything. It's like signing up, like BT, you've got a couple of things. But they're only good for fucking football. So
yeah, which to me is a massive reason for me not to give them any money.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, I think let's move this on to some positivity, I hope, kinda, and talk about what we've all been up to. Cookie.
Well, apart from moving house.
Whoa, wait, Cookie's on the show. Today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hang on, who is this person?
It's your worst nightmare, because the main thing I've been doing since I've moved house is reconnecting with Nintendo, Mr. Retroid.
Yes! Well, yes, they did some good games in the 80s.
And 90s. Actually, G2 Space, I've got with the PS4, as you know. I've got the 3DS, and I've kept the Wii. And I have been playing Xenoblade Chronicles on the 3DS, which is bloody amazing, I have to say, for a Japanese RPG.
I kind of found the system for that a bit complex. I'm not entirely sure whether I skipped too many tutorials or whatnot, but...
That's the weird thing. Tutorials seem to pick up in the guide more than actually coming across to you, so you have to keep opening up, and you suddenly see three more tutorials, and you think, where the fudge is that coming from? I didn't see that. Mm. Did I skip it? I don't remember skipping it. But really beautiful on the screen, though, on the 3DS. Really beautiful world. Ultimate Monster Hunter 4, which is really good fun if you like your Monster Hunter.
It's good for hunting monsters.
It's extremely brilliant for hunting monsters and having your little cat assistant following you around. And then on the Wii, a couple of weeks ago, I managed to pick up Zelda Skyward Sword.
Oh, I do love Skyward Sword.
I have to admit, I had never played before. And I had actually missed out the first time round. And I've fallen in love with it, especially the art style and those birds that you get to fly on.
Have you managed to get through it all?
I haven't been able to complete it yet. No, it's a Zelda game. Blimey. I haven't had a week off work yet. Give me a chance.
Fair enough, fair enough.
But no, I've only just got to where I'm getting all together. I've got to go and complete the missions before I can go down to the surface world.
Oh, so you haven't ventured to the surface yet?
Not yet, no.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Skyward Sword is definitely an underrated Zelda title.
I was going to say, considering how when it first came out and I saw the reviews, people were moaning about the motion controls. I've actually really enjoyed the motion controls on it. Mm. It's probably the best Wii game for motion controls I think I've played because it's so responsive. Mm. But maybe that's just me. So, been doing that. Been heavily considering buying a Switch after the announcement of the new Pokemon games because that looks mental.
Oh, yes. I think Emily will have something to say about that in a minute.
So, yes, definitely have to look at that. Especially as it connects to Pokemon Go. Brilliant. Been doing that. TV wise, haven't been watching much TV because we haven't had much internet. What we have been watching, I've been watching old movies on the Sony Movie Channel. So just stuff like ended up watching The Proposal with Ryan Reynolds, which is still a really good film, in my opinion. Very funny with Sandra Bullock. Oh, I'll tell you what I did actually do. I watched Thor Ragnarok properly for the first time ever.
Woo!
Yeah, it was on offer in the Asda down the road, so I bought it.
Oh, nice.
So, and I have to say, really, really good bloody film. I really enjoyed that. Really good fun.
Can I just confess that perhaps...
Best Thor film.
That film might be the reason why I ended up picking up Led Zeppelin 3 on vinyl. Might be.
Yeah.
Okay.
Go. That is cool. Other than that, I've just been messing about with the camera, to be fair. And that's about it.
We have noticed a lot of the...
Oh, but they're so cool!
Yes.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, your Play-Aids.
Yes.
Well, I have been tinkering, yes. This, where we've moved to, we've got the canal just like 2 minutes down the road, so I've been exploring that. I've then got across the road, if I go down... the street, I come to just fields of horses and a couple of football fields. Then I've got 5 minutes walk into the city, into the actual main town, so lots of street photography stuff I can do. So yeah, that's been keeping me really busy, to be fair, and really enjoying it. So yeah, keep watch out, there's some more coming, so it's good. I caught people unawares on the other day with street photography.
Okay.
That sounds dodgy.
You've just got to make sure you don't piss them off with a thump, don't you?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, that's true with a lot, really.
Well, yeah, even though if it's, you know, in the public place, trough, so to speak.
Retroid, what have you been doing in 500 words or less?
Well, first of all, I've been getting slightly older because it was my birthday a week ago on Friday.
Yes, happy birthday to you.
Yeah, I'm 21.
But what have you done with all your experience points? What have you...
Sorry, you're 21?
Yeah, I'm 21.
Yeah.
You're not a 21-year-old.
If you're 21, you should be buying a Nintendo Switch then for the portability, because you've got to be able to play it everywhere you go.
No, I'm 21, not that.
Oh!
No, I was 43.
Bless you.
So there you go. And I worked out the discount code for a ZX Spectrum Div MMC Future, which is a gadget which plugs into the back of a Spectrum, any Spectrum, which is, you know, this is one of the nice things about it. No configuration required, and it not only works as a joystick interface, so you can have Kempston joysticks, but also it accepts an SD card and you can load any game near instantly.
Whoa.
Seriously?
So, yeah, you can have pretty much the entirety of all ZX Spectrum software and just go, there you go, SD card. So,
wow. Cool.
I had something, you know, I've got something very similar for my Commodore 64, and I promised myself that, you know, the ZX Spectrum was next for such an item. So I pulled some of my birthday cash, because people know that, yeah, it's probably a bad idea to try and buy me a gift, because, you know, trying to work out what I want is a difficult task. So it's have some money. It's, yeah, thank you, I can spend it on something I actually want, rather than just grinning and going, no, thanks, I always wanted that.
Yeah.
I have not tested it yet, but I have sorted some games. So I've got that to look forward to. I have been fiddling a little bit more with electronics, but not that much, because it's been too warm this last week or so. It's just, I've just not been sleeping well. So I may think about doing something in a project, but it's which end of the soldering iron do I hold? I'm too tired.
Ouch.
Yeah, best not.
Nah.
Otherwise, we've been watching, let's see, what have we been watching? We've been watching Legion, Season 2, which has been very good. Heartily recommend that. We've also been watching Into the Badlands, which no one else has bothered with, have they?
No.
And if anyone here has Amazon, it is apparently included in that. It stars Daniel Wu, and from the second season onwards, it also stars Nick Frost of that there Cornetto trilogy. It is, let's see how to describe it. It's post-apocalyptic, where everything has gone a bit feudal. So you've got feudal warlords ruling different areas of the aforementioned Badlands, and you've got the Cutters, who are elite trained killers, and titular character, well, you know, well, the main character, because he's not actually mentioned, is played by Daniel Wu, and he has been going around slicing people for his boss, but has decided that since he fell in love, which of course is something that the Cutters are not supposed to do, they're supposed to prioritize serving their warlords above anything else. He's fallen in love and he has a sprog on the way. By the time we get to the third season, things have moved on quite a bit. Nick Frost is still being an awesome, amoral martial artist character who's been kind of helping his Cutter friend, but is frequently more interested in just being out for himself. But yeah, I'm trying not to spoil any of it, but it is well worth watching. I will tweet part of the intro to, you know, the Nerds podcast account after this.
Cool.
So, you know, you can see the, you know, the kind of thing. But yeah, it's, you know, lots of swords, lots of people being slit up. It's not an overly gory thing, but yeah, it is quite good, and it's a very well realized world. So far as I know, that has been renewed again, so this is good. As has Legion. I heard a few days ago that Legion has been renewed for a third season, which I'm very happy about, because I heard that some of the ratings for that were quite low in the States. We're talking about, you know, 300,000 tuning in for an episode. Yeah.
Which network is it on in the States?
It's FX, I think.
Who's FX?
Yeah. But it's been very good, both of them. So, please do watch both. And in the cheerier news, which is why I chuckled when Emily said that, we've also been watching Handmaid's Tale. Yeah, pretty much. Where everyone else, you know, those of us who are decent have been watching it with, you know, sort of, you know, mounting horror with, this is good, but oh, bloody hell. But you know there's going to be assholes out there going, this is a good idea, I'm going to take notes on this. Yeah, so we've been enjoying those as well. But of course, all three of those series are currently in progress. So just having to try and ration them. But we tried rationing, but when it came to Into the Badlands, we had about 5 episodes, and it was just, we just watched them in one chunk. and then it's like, oh, bollocks, is there a new one? Yeah, no, there isn't. Yeah, it's very good. Just as a, because I could, I rewatched Rogue One on Saturday.
Cool.
And yeah, I think I prefer Rogue One to the numbered new Star Wars films. It felt more rounded and more like a Star Wars film. Just what reminds me of that, and why I thought to mention it, was that I was reading about the, you know, the problems with the Star Wars films, and they said that, oh, what would happen if we'd made a war film in the Star Wars universe, and that was Rogue One, but it ended up not being, you know, not feeling like a Star Wars film. Whereas it really did to me, it just didn't have Jedi.
Yeah.
So there you go. Ooh. That was 500 words, right?
Was indeed, yes.
Well, yeah.
I am one with the Force. The Force is with me.
You see, shall I go next?
Yeah.
One of the things that we watched was Solo.
Was what?
Oh, cool. So, any good?
We really enjoyed it, actually.
Well, more than on the actual reviewers seem to be enjoying it for some reason.
But yeah, it just kind of felt like it flowed very well, and I don't think there's any particular kind of plot points that were, you know, or plot holes that were, you know, there from, you know, first couple of viewings anyway. But yeah, it just seemed to nail the character and kind of give his backstory a bit more, you know, oomph, a bit more reality to it. Rather than...
Incidentally, the Google cards, I think, have given me a bit of information which I didn't want to know about that.
Ah, okay.
Ah, that's enough.
I'll just say concerning the droid, Lando's droid, and the Falcon.
Oh, that's mean.
Because it's just, let's just mention it in the headline. And it's just, you bastard. Because even though, you know, you know, seeing all the trailers and such.
Yeah.
I have been hearing good things. So, and of course, I do still want a Lando film.
Yeah, no doubt they'll. Yeah, I mean, there are plenty of people out there that are screaming about it's not real Star Wars, and you know, it's just not the same.
Bollocks! Like all I can say
really
that is
fucking annoying.
Bollocks to all that. Look at all the people who, you know, whined about Empire Strikes Back when that was released in 1980.
Oh, God, yeah.
There are still records, you know, from Usenet where people were talking about that and saying, oh, Lucas is really being screwed up.
But, I mean, nothing is worse than the comments that supposed Trekkies have about Star Trek Discovery.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez. Makes me facepalm so hard. Really does.
People who are so desperate to score internet points and they do not understand what the hell they're talking about.
Yep.
Crazy. Yep.
So I've been playing a lot of Hyrule Warriors.
On the Switch?
Yep.
Ooh.
It's kind of the best. Well, it's kind of the best of both worlds between the Wii U version and the 3DS version. So it has, you know, improved graphics and, you know, kind of lots and lots of detail and whatnot. You can have it multiplayer like the Wii U version, but you can also switch characters on the fly like the 3DS version. It has all of the content and all of the maps and everything. I'm still going through and unlocking everything. So it's taken a while. It's taken a while. But it is good. It is good. And also has the fairy system from the 3DS version as well. I'd imagine some people it would get a bit repetitive, but there is just that many unlockables in there.
It's called the DLC included as well, isn't it?
Are they
exactly.
going it's to tell them about your new amiibo?
I have
gone.
I now have come today. I now have.
I don't want to know.
Okay.
I do.
I don't know that detail.
No, I do.
If you think about what he said.
Huh? Sorry, I do.
So you were saying you came today.
Oh, God.
I'd best signpost it.
Ganondorf.
Oh, well, no wonder you were excited.
Nice.
No, I kind of looked on various websites and even the Nintendo official shop and whatnot, and I think most of the amiibos are actually out of stock now. So
yeah.
I think that at least the Smash Bros. Kind of set is obviously no longer being produced and whatnot.
A shortage with something made by Nintendo?
Well, to be honest, I mean, it's a shortage for something that was released, what, 3-4 years ago now?
Oh, that's fair enough.
Long? How long? What, Hyrule?
No. Amiibos in general.
It's been a while. I mean, because the first big push was with the last Smash.
Yeah.
Yes.
So...
Is that when they ripped it off from Skylanders?
I like amiibos because they're compatible with far more Nintendo products.
I will give them that. They don't require just the, you know, the one base thing, and it's not, oh, you bought a new system, buy everything else again.
Yeah. And
I will give them that, and they look good. I like them as figures.
Yeah, absolutely. And the fact that, I mean... As figures, you know, obviously they're sitting on my shelf and they look, you know, pretty good. But the fact that they can interact with games is good. I mean, I think most games kind of utilize them poorly, just unlocking costumes and shit like that. Or, you know, having like extra, you know, kind of, I don't know, like items and whatnot being unlocked. Hyrule Warriors has five amiibos in one day. And specific amiibos to the Zelda franchise usually unlocks weapons for the character. So, say for example, a Link amiibo would unlock or give you like a Link weapon, and Ganondorf gives you Ganondorf weapon. But because it kind of changes with every game as well, so you have The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild, where you kind of, yes, you unlock kind of goodies and whatnot, but there are exclusive goodies that you can unlock by having the different amiibos as well. So the Midna riding on Wolf Link actually unlocks Wolf Link in Breath of the Wild with the amount of hearts that you get from secret kind of lovely type thing that you do in Twilight Princess. So depending on kind of how well you do at that, how many hearts are remaining when you kind of get to the bottom of that, that's how many hearts are with your Wolf Link, and that's how many hearts Wolf Link has in Breath of the Wild, which is pretty cool.
That is cool.
But yeah, obviously Smash Bros. Is probably the best game for showcasing the amiibos, but that's been a while.
Yeah, I'm trying to pick that up for 3DS. The one thing I have found with the 3DS and Wii is the games hold their bloody value, even secondhand.
Yeah, that to me is a major failing of them, to be honest.
But they hold the value.
Yes.
Are you talking about the same thing here?
As in monetary value?
Yeah, monetary value, yeah. The games actually hold the value.
Yeah, as in, if I walk into a shop and want to buy a game that came out about 3 or 4 years ago, it would be nice if it was a little bit cheaper.
Yeah, on the PS4, if I could pick up games on eBay for £2 or £3 a time, whereas for the same... Well, not the same games, but the same age games on Nintendo, they're still about £20 secondhand.
I mean, I remember picking up, I think, was it earlier this year or late last year? Dissidia for the PS4. I mean, because when it was brand new out, it was like proper, £45 type game. And I think that's something that people forget when it comes to Nintendo games. They may seem like they're really, really expensive, but in comparison to PS4 and Xbox One, no, new games are that price. It's just that their price goes down really, really quickly, and now you can pick it up for £15, the exact same game, literally less than a year later.
And that
to me is a good thing.
That you can pick a bit up cheaper.
Yes.
In some respects.
In respect to actually adding it to your collection, yes. But
how is it a bad thing unless you're going to be selling them?
But you never know what's around the corner, I suppose.
Well, for a start, I mean, you don't generally tend to, get people that I really want to buy this game, but I'm going to wait until it comes down to this price with Nintendo because of that. If you want the game, you will go out and buy the game. You won't
I used to be like that, and then I decided by the time it came to the GBA that fuck them, because they simply do, they're not consumer friendly. And that's one of the reasons why I just opted out of Nintendo, because it's just, no, your stuff is just too expensive for too long.
But by the same token, because Nintendo publishes their own games, I can kind of understand them not wanting, to kind of let them go for really, really cheap. Whereas with the PlayStation, yes, it has first parties and whatnot developing for them, but third party, they kind of don't give a shit whether, the next Ubisoft game, kind of drops its price in half within 2 weeks of launch. So then it's kind of neither here nor there.
I think
there's
that's
pros and negatives, I think.
To be honest, I think it's a reason why fewer third parties support Nintendo. Because there's less to go around. Everyone has a finite amount of money. And if it's a choice between getting 2 or 3 Xbone or PS4 games or whatever, or one Nintendo game that came out about 2 years ago.
Yeah, and admittedly,
has to come down in price.
And admittedly, it is frustrating when even games that are just released on all systems, including the Switch, and you get the Switch version, and that's a full £10 or £15 more expensive than the other versions. I can get that frustration. By the same token, I'd still prefer it on the Switch, because at least then I can kind of take it out and about, and have the
I was going to say, you've got the whole portability of it.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I love
which they've only just done with their main console. Up until the Switch, they haven't had that excuse.
Well, I think up until the Switch, the technology hasn't really been there to be like both home console and out and about.
Grumble.
I just think that, first of all, the tech in the Switch existed for at least a year before the Switch was announced. Mm. It's in a slightly older NVIDIA, you know, tablet technology. And I have seen tech demos running on, you know, ARM SoCs, which, you know, have been equaling. So, you know, sort of creeping up on, well, you know, well in advance of, you know, well ahead of 360 and PS3. And some of them have been approaching, you know, PS4 and, you know, blah. And Nintendo just decided, well, we're going to have one of those because it would just be easier than let's stick two Wii U's together, which is, you know, two Wii's stuck together, which is two GameCubes stuck together. So, you know, let's sacrifice that.
Two N64s stuck together.
Technically no, because they
you have to start somewhere.
Yes, but basically everything from that point, which is why, you know, there was a level of hardware back compatibility. It's because everything was built on the
previous architecture.
You know, yeah, IBM Power PC and, you know, S3.
Yeah.
Oh no, ATI. Although they bought S3. Never mind. But yeah. It's basically, they took an opportunity, and I'm glad it's worked out for them. But in summary, the prices of the games coming down, or not, as the case may be, is one of the primary reasons why I just decided I would much rather spend my time and money elsewhere than Nintendo. I don't begrudge. Now, I seriously don't begrudge, you know, people who you know, decide to, you know, just spend it on a Nintendo game rather than, you know, two or three on another format. Because, you know, if you prefer Nintendo games, then fine, you know, whatever. Who am I to say that you shouldn't? But it's just, they don't have enough of a special sheen to me to consider it worthwhile.
Which is fair. I mean, that is entirely subjective, as you're pointing out. It's, you know, for me, that there's like an entire kind of couple of shelves full of games that some of them I've hardly even touched because bought them because they look good or because, you know, I was really excited for them at the time. Stuck them in, and within a day or so, I've kind of got a bit bored of it, and, you know, the line going complete. Whereas the ratio of Nintendo games that have done that is very low. There's very few, at least first party Nintendo games. Anyway, I think we've basically gone on a bit too much already. So, Emily?
I will just very quickly say, just to say, you know, to top that off, because I got a DSi XL.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And decided I will look up, you know, because first of all, I wanted to hack it, which I've ended up not doing. And for the simple reason being that I looked at how much some of the DS games were looking for on eBay, and suddenly, well, yes, those are the prices that I will go for. Thanks very much. So I've got a big pile of, you know, DS games that I've either been, you know, I've either played, I'm playing, or I'm going to play through. So it's not like I am adverse to the brand. It's just I am adverse to spending too much.
That's fair. Emily?
So obviously I saw Silo with you.
You did?
I think I enjoyed it, and I feel like there were bits of story I'd rather they'd focused on rather than the bits that they did. Like, I think I would have rather have had elements from the end of the story and the revelations there being the main focus rather than all the heists. I don't want to spoil it for people, which is what would happen if we went into deeper discussion.
Okay, that's fair.
I've started.
Does he survive, and does he get the Millennium Falcon?
Well, I started watching Suits last week. I'm up to season two, but only like just the start of it. I'm really enjoying it. I remember a while back I tried watching the pilot and I couldn't get into it, but I gave it another go last week and I'll get into it. So currently bike session sort of like viewing is rotating between suits and NHL 17 to 18 games of the Boston Bruins. I've yet to find the inciting incident for why Marchand starts licking people in the season.
Hang on, what?
Yeah, he's not the captain, that's Chara, but Marchand, I think he's like, is he assistant captain? But yeah, one of the players, I don't know if it just happened during the playoffs before the Stanley, like for the Stanley Cup, but he started licking players, one assumes during kind of like the sort of scrimmagey scrum type things they have when a bunch of people basically like check each other up against the boards whilst they're trying to desperately get the puck. There's like a bunch of them.
The way this sounds right now, checking each other up against the boards.
I know. And, and you wonder why there aren't any players out in the NHL yet. But actually there aren't, which is actually a sad thing. So I've been rotating between suits and NHL. I've been playing a little bit of NHL 18, trying to make a go of career mode. Also, I started trying out franchise mode last night, which when asked by our friend Chris, was like, oh, you know, like, you know, how if you're playing with like 32 teams with like an extra expansion team, so basically you can make your own team. And I'm like, no, and I hardly understand what the fuck I'm doing, because basically it's a game manager mode and I have no idea what I'm doing. Like, I struggle enough as it is to like just play regular hockey on that game. And I had to tweak control setups quite a bit in order to get it to work, because I did have it because it's got classic 94 controls, which is whatever it was like on, I assume, the SNES back in 94. Or whatever. So there's that. You can use those controls, or you can use Skill Stick, which involves a lot of sort of like stick controlling on the actual controller. Or you can use hybrid, where you kind of get some sensible button options and, you know, just movement is controlled by the sticks rather than like doing complicated like stick techniques. So I've been doing hybrid on that, and finding it a bit easier since I switched on control method. What else have I been up to? I feel like I haven't really done that much. I've been reading loads of Check Please fanfic, to be fair. It's just so there's been a lot of ice hockey in my life, basically, in varying forms. I haven't stooped to, well, I say stooped, I haven't resorted to reading any like ice hockey real person fanfic, which is out there in the world. And I saw an argument blow up on a particular chat server I'm on at the moment last night about that, in which some form of, you know, shaming happened, and then there was a huge blow up, and it's just like, okay, guys.
I'm kind of,
to be fair, the real person fanfic exists for everything: K-pop, hockey, football.
Wait.
TV stars.
If it exists for everything, does that mean that somebody has written one about Nerds Assemble?
I hope not, and that's a Nerds After Dark conversation,
yeah,
surely.
Yeah, that's definitely, yeah.
Yeah, just don't think about it. It's a terrible idea to think about it. Like, you even get fanfic of, like, really popular, like, YouTube bloggers sometimes and stuff. It exists. Real person fanfic. If you get popular enough, that will exist over you.
Now I've got a horrible feeling there's like Dan Hannan and Nigel Farage slash
to be fair, there is Miliband fanfic out there. I remember that people talking about that during
that,
like...
one for the Miliband.
Milliflick.
That's a little bit too specific.
Yeah. I mean, put it this way. Just, I mean, if you ever, I suppose, want to torture people who are sports fans who perhaps been a little obnoxious, and it's a popular sport and there's a popular tournament going on, I would say just pick any two players and go, I wonder what the fanfic's going to be like. In the most sort of like dubious kind of voice that you can muster that suggests kind of like dodgy back rooms and cigarette smoke and a Kindle that's chock full of personal, real person porn, essentially.
Well, you know, there's a lot of stress before these big matches, and they really have to calm themselves down a bit.
I think actually mentioning real person fanfic in the context of the FIFA World Cup is perhaps a genuine tactic for pissing off people who won't shut the heck up about it. I think it is entirely possible. I mean, if you tell me that my chum's been licking people, so there's definitely fanfic of him, you know, around with God knows what going on.
I think we all know.
Yeah. But I haven't gone near that. I've been reading just Check Please fanfic, and they've got a Kickstarter going at the moment, which I've been an ooming and ahhing over. But the rewards tiers that are even worth bothering with are like you're looking at over 50 quid. Yeah. And that's with delivery. So like that's
bloody
like
hell, buy you a Nintendo game.
I know.
Wow. That's an investment.
That involves me wanting to gain much beyond like what I have been playing lately though. So I'm trying to think, what else have I been up to? I feel like hasn't.
Have we said about Deadpool 2?
Oh, we did see Deadpool 2. We did see Deadpool 2.
Awesome.
And it was a delight. Perhaps not as good as the first one, but fun nonetheless.
I think it was good just in a different way.
Yeah.
I find it really difficult to rank stuff anyway. But yeah.
Oh, but I have been doing another...
I misheard that.
Yeah.
Say what?
I've been studying another MOOC, massive, was it online classroom blah blah thing. I've been doing another Coursera course, and this has been on gender and sexuality, diversity and inclusion in the workplace, which is interesting. On like my final week of that. I've been reading lots of complex articles on gender and sexuality, and then watching also like video talks and stuff from some lecturers about it. So that's cool. It's American centric with a little bit of international stuff kind of creeping in here and there. And the American side of things, though, it is a bit messed up. And yeah, just yeah. I think that's all I've really been doing. I genuinely think that is. It's just been pretty chill and non-committal these past few weeks. I've yet to complete Final Fantasy 15 because I'm partway through the final bit of the game. It's just like you just know you're gonna. I just know I'm gonna probably end up crying or something, or it's gonna be the most frustrating final boss battle ever.
You do realize that after Final Fantasy 15, you do have the remaster of Final Fantasy 12 to get through.
I also have Final Fantasy 9.
Christ,
so I could play both and just switch between the two and get really confused because they're similar world styles but very different pieces of gameplay.
True. Okay.
So. Fantastic. So yeah, I think that's everything. So that is all we've got time for this week. If you want to be ready to face episode 223, you should, like we said, read some X-Men comics or watch the films. Or maybe dare to watch the cartoon. Actually, I actually quite highly rate X-Men Evolution, the cartoon they did during the period of the earlier films.
Oh, yes.
That was fun. I mean, I know it had sort of slightly angsty teenagers and that, but at the same time,
it was good, though.
The stories are actually quite well measured and sort of, you know, well plotted. So, you know, it's not, it wasn't that terrible. It's just, well, teen. But it was like, well, yeah, but it was aimed at teenagers. That's kind of why.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, that makes perfect sense. If you're going to aim at, you know, teenagers, that, I mean, good God, it, X-Men itself is the perfect sort of vehicle for that, because it's also, you know, it's, you know, people who don't fit in.
Save it for the episode. But yeah, so
damn it.
Catch up on something X-Men related. So that's all we've got time for. So it is goodnight from...
It's goodnight from me, Paul Wood. I'm retroid on Eurogamer.net and super retroid on Twitter.
It's goodnight from me, Paul, a.k.a. Cookie. You can find me on Twitter at onearmed_cookie.
It's goodnight from me, Paul Blewett, and I'm on Twitter as at Paul Blewett.
And it's goodnight from me, Emily King. You can find me on Twitter at emkingma. You can find Nerds Podcast on Twitter at Nerds Podcast. You can find notes for this episode over at nerdassemble.co.uk. We'll hopefully try and include a link to that Rotten Tomatoes show list.
Tomatoes.
Girl, blimey!
like, you know, so that you can check if perhaps one of your favourite shows has survived or been canned.
Although chances are you probably would have known by now.
Hopefully. I feel like I picked up the key genre shows from that list. And obviously this episode is also available on Stitcher and iTunes if you wanted an alternative method of listening to when it's within so many blah blah of it being uploaded. And that's it, so good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.
I'm sorry. I've been cancelled.